Semblance. Sister Susie sitting on a thistle. There we go. My tongue's all warmed up now. And I'm ready for the podcast.
Hello, and welcome to Drupal Easy Podcast number 33. I'm your host for today, Ryan Price. Andrew is dematerialized yet again, but we do have with us Mr. Mike Anello.
Hello, hello.
And also all the way from Mountain Time, Mr. Salim Lakhani, and I'm going to assume I said that correctly.
Yeah, you did. Hi there.
So Salim works with web-enabled, and there's somebody we've mentioned a few times on the podcast, most recently because web-enabled was a sponsor of our Florida Drupal camp, and Salim and one of his guys, Jeff, came down. They did a couple of sessions. They helped us out with our Coding for a Cause day, and they were just really awesome dudes. So we decided to have Salim on our show.
All right.
And, I mean, we're going to be talking about, in a few minutes, about how Drupal Easy is going to be working closer with web-enabled in the very near future.
So. Yeah, absolutely. But before we do that, we have some Drupal news we'd like to get to right away.
Yeah, so just a couple days ago, Drupal 7 Alpha 3 was released. It's just another step forward towards a full-on release of Drupal 7. This one, as with all the other alpha releases, just kind of creeps forward with a bunch of critical bug fixes. There are still 148 critical issues in Drupal 7 as of today. And with DrupalCon just slightly less than a month away, it's looking less and less likely that we're going to have a full-on release of Drupal 7 before DrupalCon. I mean, do you agree with that, Ryan?
Sad trombone. That's all I have to say about that. Actually, maybe Salim can hook us up. He might have the sad trombone over on his soundboard. I don't know.
You know, it was one of those, you know, I don't want to say pie in the sky goals, but it was just kind of a goal that everybody was saying, hey, wouldn't it be cool if?
Yeah, yeah.
But it just doesn't look like it's going to happen, which is, you know, no big deal. Better be right than early.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, So just to sort of recap, if people haven't been keeping up, the whole deal with releasing Drupal is Drupal will not be released, Drupal 7 that is, until all of the critical issues are gone, and that's why we call out the number, and we will not go into, is it beta mode or release candidate mode, until there is a clean upgrade path from 6 to 7.
Well, I believe beta mode, you know, they won't move to beta until there's a clean upgrade pass.
Right.
Path, and then the actual release of Drupal will come when there's no more critical issues and a certain amount of time has to pass by when there's no new critical issues found.
Right.
So we still have a little bit of a road ahead of us, but, you know, nothing good is ever easy.
Yeah. Well, Mike, that's all well and good, but last week there was this thing, South by Southwest, and if you follow social media channels at all, you really couldn't avoid South by Southwest. You never can, especially not since Twitter arrived on the scene. But there was something at South by Southwest that I still sort of struggle to understand.
But even though you don't understand it yet, you want one. You know that you want one.
I'm not sure that I do.
Oh, you want one.
I still don't have an iPhone, so I'm not one of those people.
Yeah, but I've seen your place. You like to plant things.
Yes, yes.
You like to garden. Yes. This is right up your alley. And you like Drupal.
Drupal is good.
And those are two worlds that don't often intersect.
Gardening and Drupal.
Yeah. I mean, not, you know, there's probably a small subculture of Drupal gardeners, but not a whole lot.
Well, but then are you talking about Drupal gardens?
You know what? That would have been a great segue.
Great segue.
Wow. Unfortunately, that's the wrong segue.
it's not completely incorrect, right?
It's okay.
Let's just say what the hell we're talking about.
It's Drupalipet.
Yes.
Woohoo! So this is a bit of swag that I believe Acquia has come up with, and it is actually a Chia Pet of the Drupal icon, of the little blue head guy.
Well, but the whole point is that it has something to do with Drupal gardens.
Yes, absolutely. It is to promote Drupal Gardens, which is their hosted version of Drupal. Similar, it is to Drupal what WordPress.com is to WordPress.
Right.
And as far as from a marketing standpoint, I mean, it's fantastic because the second I saw it, I'm like, oh, I need to have one of those on my windowsill. That'd be awesome. But I guess we have people like you, Ryan, who, you know, aren't all that impressed by chia pets.
No, I don't think I've ever had one.
Oh, man, you're missing out. Have you had a chance to play with Drupal Gardens yet?
Well, just in as much as you did the other day when we were doing it at our user group.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we started playing with a beta of Drupal Gardens, and most of our time, I think, was spent playing with the theming aspect of it, where you can change all aspects of your theme, which was pretty darn cool.
Well, we should I thought the installer was kind of neat. It was sort of like, what kind of a site would you like? And they sort of have this one profile now, which is sort of like a marketing profile. There's like an email list, and there's comment notifications, and you can turn on and off comments and news and blogs. So it was just this like the easiest installer I've ever seen for just about any web app. It was very well designed.
Yeah, and it looks very expandable as well.
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll be seeing some new things. We should probably do a podcast one of these days just on Drupal Gardens. I'm sure someone from Acquia would love to talk about it.
Hint, hint, hint.
Hint, hint, hint. Hey, so what's this? This next story I see has got some crazy percentage attached to it, and I'm not sure I actually believe it.
Okay, so this is a blog written by one Matt Butcher, and his blog is called Techno Sophos.
Yeah, Matt's been on our podcast.
Absolutely.
He wrote the Drupal 6 JavaScript and jQuery book, which is an excellent, excellent book. If you're into, you know, that sort of thing.
So Matt was working on a site with some really beefy pages. I'm going to assume lots of blocks, views, etc. on them. And it was taking a long time to process the pages, probably for, you know, non-anonymous users, for authenticated users, I'm going to guess. And he said that he was only able to kick out 27 pages at once.
Nice.
So that means as soon as he had more than 27 people on his site, the site just basically fell to its knees, stopped working.
Do we know what kind of hosting? Was it a dedicated server? Was it Slice? Was it shared? Do we have any idea?
I'm going off of what I've got right in front of me. So okay. I don't know all the details. But he said that after he did some beefiness and performance tuning, and particularly caching, and also using an alternative server called Nginx, he got it up to, 3,300 concurrent users.
So is Nginx, is that a replacement for Apache?
Well, it can be. If you guys didn't catch the last podcast that we did, Drupal 6 Performance Tips, highly recommended. We barely mentioned Nginx, but Nginx is one of a breed of new web servers that are out there. And now that I'm thinking about it, I'm going to forget the new one that I just learned about this week. But there are at least three that I can think of. One of them is called Lighty, which is Light TPD, which is like HTTPD is the other name for Apache. It's really weird. So Lighty has been around for a while, and people have been, you know, that have really high performance needs for Drupal. You give up some of the configurability of Apache and some of the sort of, you know, extra modules that you can install, but you get speed back. Mm-hmm. And then more recently, there's been Nginx, and that's been a pretty popular thing. It comes out of Russia.
And Nginx is N-I-G-N-X.
No, N-G-I-N-X.
Oh, N-G-I-N-X.
I think that's
a typo,
actually. But if he changed it now, it would break his permalink, right? So Nginx, it's two things. It can be a web server. It's really good at serving static files, but it can also be a reverse proxy. So on our server for Drupal Easy, we actually have Nginx serving static files, And then Apache, at least right now, we're sort of transitioning this. We're working with a good friend of ours, Zentech. He's helping us get some more juice out of our server by putting Nginx in front of Apache.
So how does it, when you say, I mean, this is a good opportunity to explain something, because the term reverse proxy gets used a lot, yeah. And I'm not sure how many people actually understand what that means. Can you give us a quick like elevator explanation of what that means?
As fast as Wikipedia will tell me. So the kind of proxy that most people are familiar with is what's called an outbound proxy or a forward proxy. And you have this, if you are inside of a firewall and you need to get out to the rest of the world, oftentimes the ports and the IP addresses and all the sort of access to the outside world is hidden from you. So you give your local machine an address to say, when you want to talk to the outside world, go to this address, and then that will like sort of forward your traffic on. But when you want to talk internally to the network, so like let's say inside your house or inside your office, that's local. So the proxy, you send all your traffic through the forward proxy. The reverse proxy is sort of the reverse of that. It's when you want to talk to something inside a network that is hidden from the rest of the world, you want to go ask the server on the reverse proxy, this is what I want, please give it to me. So in the case of the Drupal site here, we could say, go to drupaleasy.com/robots.txt. So robots.txt is a static file. It exists on the server. So Nginx says, I'm just going to go straight to the disk, and I'm going to grab that file, and I'm going to hand it back to you. But so if I go and I ask for index.php, that is a script file. So I'm going to go ask Apache, and then Apache's going to go read index.php from the disk and interpret it and figure out what it needs to do. And then it's going to hand back the HTML to me.
So it's based kind of on the type of file. You set up rules that basically say, if the request is for a GIF or a PNG or a JPEG or some type of static file, just go grab it and send it back.
Right.
If it's anything more, let Apache handle it.
And so what's really neat that Matt has done, and he says he stole this from some people, he saw Ruby on Rails developers doing this. What Nginx can do is it can talk to Memcache. And as we talked about last week, Memcache can actually store data in RAM. So reading from disk is pretty fast, but reading from RAM is way faster. So in Drupal land, we take the regular page cache or views cache or block cache or menu cache or whatever you got, and we store that instead of in the database, which is slower than disk, we store it in memory, and now it's very fast to retrieve that. But in a regular situation, Nginx would still have to go talk to Drupal, and then Drupal would have to pull it out of memory and then hand it back to you. What we're doing here is we're bypassing PHP altogether. We're going directly to Memcache, to our rendered HTML, and we're handing that back to you. So it's like blazingly fast. Apparently, almost 54,000% faster than his old setup.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. So, I mean, what's the... Like, how hard is something like that to set up based on, you know, the article? I mean, is that something that you need kind of a server guy to set up, I would assume?
I'm going to say yes. You know, if you're the kind of person that is very comfortable editing your httpd conf and recompiling certain programs on your server, this is probably a no-brainer for you. If you've done it before but you got to read through some tutorials, you may be able to use this article as a guide for messing around with it. Or if you really wanted to, just go get Pantheon and install it on EC2. And it's very similar to the same setup, you know.
It's pretty cool. I mean, all of the different caching technologies and performance technologies that are really just, you know, coming to fruition in the past, you know, probably the past year. And moving forward, it's really exciting, all the possibilities there are out there for really making Drupal scream.
Yeah. Yeah, it's getting really exciting.
And there's even been a lot of work as far as Drupal 7 is concerned in making sure that Drupal 7 out of the box has all of the hooks and all of the, you know, all of the ways, all of the flexibility, I guess I should say, to allow all of these different caching mechanisms to, you know, to work without having to hack Drupal core.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool stuff.
Well, and then one of the other ways that people are using, now Public and their parent company, The Observer, I'm sure are using, is to use, content delivery network. And that's something that Drupal 6 doesn't do very well out of the box, but Drupal 7 will basically just have support for. You can say, I want to store these files, not even here in this server cluster at all. I want to store them, you know, out at some completely other address. So if you ever notice when you go to when you go to Flickr, for example, if you look at the little status bar at the bottom of your screen, you'll see it's loading a lot of things from like yimage.com. And all those yimage servers are like a distributed network of all those servers so that it's closer to where you're sitting physically, and therefore it should be faster.
Right, and there's been actually a lot of really good work lately with Drupal integrating with content delivery networks by Wim Leers.
Yeah.
Well, I believe, Dutch? Is he Dutch?
That sounds right.
But he, as part of his university thesis, he put together at least two modules I can think of. I know there's an episodes module, which is basically a measurement tool, and a CDN module, and I think it's called CDN integration. And that's actually, pretty self-explanatory.
And as always, we'll link to these in the DrupalEasy.com/podcast on the show notes.
Absolutely. But we're falling down a rabbit hole. We gotta catch ourselves here.
Yes. Okay. I was going to keep going, but you're making a good point. We should press on. So it looks like our next story is actually our special guest, Mr. Salim.
Dun, 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 dun.
Hey.
So Salim, tell us, give us a quick like 2-sentence explanation of web-enabled before we start diving deep.
Well, it's a instant development platform for developers, by developers, with full SSH, SCP, and SVN support.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I think we're done.
I mean, yeah, I think that, so.
That's enough right there, isn't it? basically what you just said, those are the reasons why, we've played with the on and off with Drupal Easy for training workshops, as well as for development projects, and we recently used it for Florida Drupal Camp for our Coding for a Cause sprint, where we actually use web-enabled services for the SVN, for the development hosting, and it's fantastic. I think the thing that really stands out, at least for us, is the fact that it has the integrated SVN support.
Well, it's the SVN, and there's other aspects of it. So you can actually do collaboration. So you can invite other developers to your team and have them develop with you. And then they can all use the SVN. You can give some developers read-only access, or you can give certain ones read and write access to SVN. But it's as easy as, entering somebody's email address and they're invited to your project to participate, to collaborate with you.
Right. Go ahead. These development servers are basically spun up and down via the admin interface. So, when you sign up, and I believe you can get a trial account for free.
Yep.
I think you get 3 projects.
It's 2 now.
Oh, it's 2. I'm sorry.
we were bulging. Our servers were kind of bulging. So,
so you can get 2 projects that you basically can start with an empty slate, or they will start, you can select, I want to start with, Drupal 7, the latest dev version, or I want to start with Drupal 6.
Yeah.
And you guys will automatically, the code is in there just to spin that right up, and then provide SSH access off the bat, and set up an admin account for the Drupal site right off the bat, give you PHP MyAdmin access, pretty much everything you need to get going.
Yeah, and it comes now. It comes with Drush, or is it Drush?
Drush.
Okay, Drush pre-installed, and we're actually building a front-end web interface to Drush as well. So
yeah, I saw that was new. I actually hopped on the site this morning, and I was just making sure I wasn't forgetting anything, and I noticed that there's now Drush support, so you can SSH right into your project and start using Drush, which is kind of the hot thing with Drupal developers lately.
So, yeah. Mike, if I could give a case study here for a second.
Yeah.
Like, this is how this tool removes so many steps from my life. Like, I've got, when let's say I want to start a new project, you don't ever start your new project on, whatever.com. Like, you always want to go, you want to make your test version somewhere, but you also want to be able to show that to the client or whoever it is you're building the site for, the rest of your company. So you go on your server, you log in, you create a virtual host, you create a database, user, you restart your server, you have to do all this junk. Now I have a separate server where I normally used to keep my Subversion info. So I would go over there, I would create a new repository, I would then grant access to a bunch of people. Then I would have to actually check in some code, and then I have to go download Drupal and go through the whole install process. At this point, in Web Enabled, that was one step, everything that I just said to you.
Pretty much. You select what you want to start with, and off you go. And the other nice thing about it is a feature that you can very easily, again, through the web-based UI, is just turn on the Apache login support. So if you're doing a dev site and you don't want it out there for the general public, you can set up an Apache username and password so that anytime the URL is hit, you're not going to see anything until you get past that password. And that's, that's perfect for a dev site. Because once that password's in there, then you have access to the full site, and your client can have access, and your testers and whoever else. But it really does. If you're a development shop, whether you're one man or, multiple people, all of that little stuff that you'd normally have to do to set up a development environment for a new client, with web-enabled, you don't really have to worry about anymore. It's very slick.
Well, and the really neat thing is, we keep talking about it like it's a development platform, but Salim, you guys also do production hosting.
And we actually allow people to... So the production hosting, is kept on a different server, and you can push to a production hosting server. You can buy your own VPS in different sizes. And if you want to push it to GoDaddy or you want to push it to 1&1, you can do that too. So, and you can download the entire tarball, give it to your clients, or keep it for yourself. So those are all things that are kind of built in. And even with the dev hosting, you can actually try out, I think we actually removed that, but you can actually, with the production hosting, you can add a URL very easily to your dev environment, and then you can have two things running, and you can do cloning back and forth from your site.
Yeah,
from a production site, you can make a dev clone, and from a dev site, you can make a production clone.
Yeah, that was going to be the next thing I was going to bring up was, we hadn't really talked about the one-click sharing that you can do with your site.
Yeah.
And we use it for workshops all the time. When we teach workshops, we will actually prepare the workshop on a web-enabled server, whatever modules we need, whatever starting code, content types, data we need in there, and kind of save that project as kind of our starting point. And then what we can do is, when we're actually in the workshop, rather than telling everybody to download a copy of Drupal and set up this content type and this and that, we can basically just say, here's a special web-enabled URL. Enter this into your browser and either log into web-enabled or create a new account, and you can get a clone of our starting point. And, that's really handy. And we do the same thing at the end of the workshop. you know, where we can provide a clone of the ending point. So, you know, if someone in the workshop wasn't completely following what we were doing, at the end of the day, they can, you know, basically clone the site that we were using and then get in there and start messing with it and not worrying about messing anything up because it's their own personal copy at that point.
Yeah, it's been very useful for us on the training front for sure.
So I guess, you know, this is a good time to mention that, you know, we're going to be talking about web-enabled a lot more in the future, because we're entering a partnership with them where we're going to kind of help them out on the marketing side of things, and we're going to be talking them up, and they're going to be helping us out on the development side of things as far as, you know, basically keeping us happy, you know, with all the development tools that we need.
Well, this is what they call in-kind support. It's an exchange of services.
Right. Scratch each other's back.
Yeah, actually, quite a few development, some of the agencies are using us as well. So we do, in addition to Drupal, we'll support Magento, Joomla, and a host of other applications. But yeah. it's all based on the LAMP stack for now. So. Yeah.
But Drupal's your favorite, though, right?
Yeah.
As long as you're on this podcast, it is.
No, it is. The entire web-enabled site actually is built using Drupal. So.
Oh, that's right.
There.
That's
right. Yeah.
Hey, so you know, something you've been talking to us about for a while now is the future marketplace of web-enabled. Why don't we talk about, explain what that is?
Yeah, so the marketplace is going to be, you know, where customers can post their requirements and developers can actually, you know, present solutions to those requirements, and if they have pre-built requirements or pre-built functionality on Drupal sites, then they can actually post those too for a fee or even for free, and other people, other users can make a clone of it. So we're actually looking now, before launching it, we want to partner up with some developers or some firms that specialize in nonprofit site or event management sites. We need landing pages, corporate blogs, and personal sites. So those are the things that we're looking for right now. So if any of your listeners are out there that have something cool that they want to share, you know, contact us or set it up on Web Enabled, and shoot me a note, and we'll put you in the marketplace. Well, and then we're also looking for a bunch of themers too. So.
Yeah. And I was going to say, Salim, too, like, even if you think that you're, you know, quote, too big for something like this, if you are that big, then you probably actually launch a lot of microsites and little promotional sites that, you know, they live for, what, a month or two, and then you kind of throw them away. This is a really great solution for that.
Yeah. And you know, just from a marketplace, it's we hope that we'll have, you know, it'll be used by the developers, and they can just use pre-built solutions as a starting point instead of investing, you know, a lot of time up front.
So the I know that there's a free trial version, like we just talked about, with you get two projects. As far as I know, you don't need a credit card to sign up initially.
Nope.
And tell me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure that the trial version is not limited in any way other than the number of projects you can have.
The only limitation on it is, the only two limitations, you're right, is the number of projects. It's at two projects, and that you can't put your own custom URL on it. So every time you spin off a website or an application, you're going to get a webenabled.net address to it.
Right. Well, but that, you know, I think that's more than fair, because if you want to try this out, if you're a developer and you want to try this out as a, you know, a dev site for your client, you don't really need to worry about a URL.
And the other thing we've instituted is, you know, we've had so many instances where people spin off these environments and then they don't close them down. So one of the things that we're doing is now every 30 days on the free plan, if you're on the free plan, you have to renew your environment. So you have to go in and say, okay, I'm still using this environment.
I'm still here.
Yeah, exactly. So otherwise it shuts it down, But we still have it in the archives, and you can go in and re-enable it for the next 30 days. And so after 60 days, it's deleted if you're not using it.
Right. Yeah, so this is, I mean, it's a really nice system for, you know, a small to medium-sized developer just to give it a shot. And, you know, if you have your own development server and you're just tired of having to do all the, you know, kind of the manual configuration like Ryan was talking about, you know, this is, definitely look into this because, you know, these guys are, they know what they're doing and their support, they're extremely responsive. I don't know if that's because we have Salim's personal email address at this point or
that's
not.
That's right.
But from everything else I've seen, they're pretty responsive. And
no, we actually have live support.
I didn't know that.
Friday, yeah, from 8 till 5 or 9 till 5. So.
Oh, that's fantastic. So that's like on a chat system?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. And I know that you guys are a big supporter of the Drupal community. You guys have been involved in sponsoring different events, and we're going to see you out in San Francisco as well.
Yeah, we're going to be at, we're one of the sponsors at DrupalCon, and it's, you know, this is actually where we started our business, was using Drupal, so we're all over it.
And we have, I'm going to be on a panel that you're doing as one of the sessions. I think it's called Monetizing Drupal, is that right?
That's right. So come see us at the panel.
Yeah,
and hopefully we'll have the marketplace ready, and we can talk about on our end. We can talk about the marketplace and other ways of monetizing Drupal.
Awesome! I think we covered everything. Did we miss anything that we wanted to talk about? I mean, it's a lot. I mean, it's a thick little product you got there.
Well, thank you. No, I think I'm good.
All right, fantastic.
Yeah,
Ryan, have you heard the new Drupal song?
You know, I haven't, but I see your link, and I am just dying to check it out.
All right, so I think this actually came across. I saw this morning on Twitter. Recording this on a Tuesday, the March 23rd. But there's a new Drupal song, and it's a rap, and it's actually not too bad. And I think we're gonna play the whole thing. It's not even 2 minutes long, but we're gonna play it as the outro to this podcast, so you can listen to the whole thing. I'm pretty excited about this. Because there is another Drupal song, which, you know, the first two or three times you hear it, it's pretty good. After that, for me personally, it starts to go downhill. So this Drupal rap is kind of the Pepsi to the current Coke song, if you will. It's good to have choices, is all I'm saying.
I'd like to buy the world a Drupal.
All right, there you go.
A Drupalipet, maybe.
Hey, so we're gonna be out and about at DrupalCon San Francisco, Ryan.
Absolutely, we are. We have a panel we put together all about training, and it's kind of first thing Monday morning, first day of the actual conference itself, and it is called The Many Flavors of Drupal Training, but it starts with the word panel, so maybe we'll get some holdover traffic from people looking for a session about panels. Not sure.
We will trick them.
Yes, but we're going to have some really fantastic folks there, the Lullabots, Greg Knadison, other folks whose names are escaping me right
Alex,
now.
Alex.
Oh yeah, Alex UA.
There. Yeah. So we got some. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a fast little panel, but we should be able to get through.
I think what we really hope is that this is but one part of the larger discussion about Drupal training that will happen inevitably during DrupalCon.
Tom Geller as well.
Great.
He does a lot of stuff with Lynda.com for Drupal. So. So that is Monday morning. So everyone should actually be, you know, mostly coherent, I would guess, on the first day. I think the Tuesday 9:45 a.m. slot would be the one where people are dragging a little bit more.
Yeah, might be.
So we have a couple of active bookaways going on where we give away copies of books that we've interviewed the authors on the podcast. As Ryan alluded to earlier, our last podcast was Drupal 6 Performance Tips. If you're interested in a copy of that book, just go to DrupalEasy.com and leave a comment on that podcast. What word is that?
That's a good one.
Yeah, it's a new one. Podcast article. And we're about to close out Drupal for Dummies. So if you're interested in getting a copy of Drupal for Dummies, by all means, leave a comment and be sure to leave some identifying information, either a Twitter handle or a Drupal.org username. And as a little preview, the next podcast after this one will be an interview with Jay Ian Green, who just came out with Drupal 6 Attachment Views, which is, if you can believe it, the first Drupal 6 book about views.
And you were a fan of this book, right, Mike?
I was. The one question I actually interviewed him yesterday, and we talked about it. And the one nagging question which I asked him was, he was 75% there to just writing a book on Drupal views, let alone just attachments. Why didn't he just go all the way? But we talked about it, and he gave me a pretty good answer, so I kind of left him alone after that. It's a pretty, you know, for anybody who needs to learn views, right now this is the book to get. I mean, there's no doubt about it. The first couple chapters lay it all out, and he actually goes into theming views and overriding, you know, the zillion views template files. So I'm not going to talk about it too much because you can hear me talk about it next week when I'm actually talking to the guy who wrote the book. So it'll probably be a little more meaty than right now.
Well, then, Mike, I guess it would be time for Picks of the Week.
Picks of the Week. I don't think, as I was writing this one, I don't think I actually have picked this one before. If I did, I apologize, but I was actually just using this module this morning. So I said, wow, this would make a great Pick of the Week. And it is the Security Review module. And this is it kind of goes along the same lines as SEO Checklist. If you use the SEO Checklist module, then you're going to understand what the Security Review module does. It doesn't actually add functionality, or I should say ongoing functionality, to your site. But what it does is you run it, and then it gives you some results. And it says, you might want to look at these two or three things. These are potential security issues with your site. It's, you know, as with everything else that you can do as far as Drupal security is concerned, this is just another one of the sanity checks that you can do. You know, you can go to admin, reports, status, and make sure everything is green and you don't have any red, you know, red staring you in the face. This is just another thing you can do. You know, I ran this on a dev site I was working with this morning, and I found a couple of directories that had write permissions for one reason or another. I found some old, outdated nodes that had some PHP code still in them. We had long turned off the PHP input filter, but still, it was good to know that those nodes were there. And if, you know, we might as well just get rid of them.
Yeah. Especially if you have a site that's been upgraded and upgraded and upgraded from previous versions. Maybe when using PHP in your nodes was, well, not acceptable, but widely used.
Widely done, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a cool little module. I mean, it's just a good sanity check. It's making sure that you're not doing anything stupid or forgetting about something. It was written by Ben Jevons. I hope I'm saying his name right. He's Coltrane on Drupal.org. But check it out. It's a good one.
Now, is he interfering with the Django namespace? Is like a Drupal war going on here?
It might be, I don't know.
It's, you know, Jazz was taken by the Python people long ago.
Hey, so, Ryan, as usual, you refused to pick a Drupal module for your Pick of the Week.
Well, I had a module, and then I decided that this was way cooler.
You teased us with the module, is what you did.
There is a Drupal user who goes by Lynn W. Clark, and she's a graduate student at the... Actually, I think her current thing is at University of Galway, which I'm gonna guess is in Scotland. I don't remember anymore, but she also was a student at Carnegie Mellon in the past, and that was what I was thinking, and then I think I got it wrong. So Lynn, if you're out there, just tell us where you go to school, leave us a comment. But she has created some really great videos on YouTube about Drupal 7, and as far as I know, these are some of the first. It's not just like, hey, check out the features of Drupal 7 just because. It's like literal tutorials on Drupal 7. So she goes through, she talks a little bit about installing with Acquia, because apparently the Stack Installer has a Drupal 7 version out there. She just has like a basic Drupal setup, how to install modules, using Drush to download new modules, creating content types, and then some things about views and theming. So really great comprehensive stuff, particularly I think if you're a new Drupal user and you're going to be downloading Drupal 7 on, you know, beta day or release candidate day or release day, you're going to look for these and you're going to find them, and they're really useful. So tell your friends who are going to be sort of Drupal tourists, go look at these videos. That's what I have to say about it.
Fantastic. Hey, we have a site of the week this week.
Yeah, somebody actually sent it in through our form. It's drupaleasy.com/site of the week, all one word.
Yeah, and it's I hope, you know, again, I hope I pronounce this right. Chalies.com.
I'm going right? with Chalies.
Chalies, Chalies.com. And I don't think we got the guy's name who sent it in, which we've since rectified. So now if you're going to submit a site of the week, you have to tell us your name so we don't have to call you that guy anymore. But this was a, he writes, Chalies.com was a large movable type blog, two of them actually, that I ported to Drupal 6. And it was over 4,000 nodes and over 40,000 comments. He said it's not an especially complicated site, but it has a huge readership, over 13,000 through Feedburner alone. And it's actually a pretty nice little site. It's the theming is excellent, I think. I mean, have you had a chance to check it out,
it's
Ryan?
It's a beautiful theme.
The guy knows typography.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And I think the story with the Chalies is that I think the person whose site it is, which is Tim Chalies, he actually designed it, maybe? Or he does some web design, possibly? But yeah. He also does, like, sort of religious writing and speaking and stuff like that. So it's pretty neat stuff.
Yeah, it's a pretty active community on that site. I mean, I was checking out some of the nodes and the comments, and it's, you know, it's a pretty nice site. So, you know, win for Drupal. Again.
Yeah, definitely.
Ryan, have you been following the Nebraska conspiracy on DrupalEasy.com at all?
A little bit.
So apparently, not apparently, as a fact, the last two bookaways we did, two of the winners were both from Omaha, Nebraska. And, you know, we picked these winners completely randomly, actually using the random number generator. I think it's at random.org. So unless, you know, and I'm not saying they've done this, but perhaps the Nebraska conspiracy has hacked random.org somehow so that they can be Drupal Easy Bookaway winners. I'm not saying that's actually what happened. I'm just saying it looks a little suspicious. But one of, so we had a comment on the site, and it was, hey, Eric and I, and the guy who's writing this, his name is Travis, both go to the Nebraska Drupal meetup together. Our local Drupal community is slowly coalescing. We know that there are more Drupalers in that area that aren't attending. Come join us. And Eric and Travis were the two guys who won Drupal Easy Books a few weeks ago. So let's give a shout out to the Nebraska Drupalers. You know, Omaha, I hear, is a happening town where you can get a really good steak. that's pretty much all I know. And they have
and emo music.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah. Yep.
So, and they have, you know, two guys who are really into Drupal. So thank you to Eric and Travis. And, you know, if you're in Nebraska, it sounds like, you know, that meetup, that region might be on the rise when it comes to Drupal developers.
And apparently my cat is on the rise. He decided to step on the keyboard.
It's great to hear your cat on a podcast again. I mean, we've heard him. He's teased us the past couple podcasts with a meow here and there. But today he was there. Do you have the Twitter feed set up for him yet?
No.
Come on, dude. What are you doing?
No. Gosh. There's a website completely unrelated. I think it's called Pet Status. It uses the StatusNet application, right. Which used to be called Laconica. And there's a whole pet Twitter site out there. You don't even have to use actual Twitter.com anymore.
The public demands it. The public demands that Fozzie be heard. We should do like an April 1st podcast that's just cats. 25 minutes of meows.
I'll hook it up. Don't worry about that
part. All right. Hook us up. Fantastic. Okay. Take us home.
Thank you so much for listening to the Drupal Easy Podcast this week. If you are on the iTunes, you can find us by searching for Drupal Easy, and we'd love to have a comment and a rating there. It's good for street cred when someone comes along and wants to subscribe if they see good reviews. If you're on other podcast directories and you can't find us, we'd like to know that. I've been actually working hard to get us into the Google Listen directory. If anybody actually knows how we can officially do that, I'd love to find out. And we've also got a Twitter account, which is @DrupalEasy. You can find our stories, which we have sort of flagged for next week's podcast, on FriendFeed @DrupalEasy. And if you want to get in touch with us, we've got a contact form on our site, or we've got a phone number. You can call and leave us a voicemail. It's 321-441-3964 in North America. And I have been Ryan Price. Over there has been Mr. Salim Lakhani.
Thank you.
Like Mike has one more thing he wants to say.
I was just going to say, you know, I hope we get Andrew back on the next podcast or two. He was actually at South by Southwest. And anybody who knows Andrew knows that he can't travel more than 15 miles from home without getting sick.
South by South flu.
South by South flu, yes. So, of course, Andrew, I mean, DrupalCon DC that Andrew was at, where he got food poisoning within, the first 15 minutes of the conference. So we're hoping that, you know, he makes a speedy recovery to his latest, you know, conference ailment.
Send tea.
Send tea. And we should buy him like a Bubble Boy suit, is what we should buy. That would actually, you know, that might actually save him, you know, on medication, I would guess. Poor guy. Anyway, so I'm Mike Anello, and you've been listening to the Drupal Easy Podcast. See ya.
Hey, what you wanna know about a CMS? You can make a website, eliminate all stress. Tendency, WordPress, Joomla, Drupal, the rest. Let's put it to the test so we can see what's best. One event on some topics, WordPress for you. Small business, nonprofit, I think Drupal will do. Hey, what you wanna do with CCKs and views? Type in some information, it displays the news. Be amazed, not confused by the model you choose. Downloaded it for free to my PC, can't lose. I set my site settings, then added a page. $1 million site, making minimum wage. It took a couple days, but I'm getting major traffic.
Google Analytics, and they show me how to track it.
Customized theme, we built it using clean. Now because of Drupal, I am living out my dream. Customized theme, we built it using clean. Now because of Drupal, I am living out my dream.